Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the prophet Jeremiah. If you'd like to join along in your own Bible or in a pew Bible, we'll be reading from the first chapter of Jeremiah, the first 10 verses. Jeremiah 1, 1 through 10. Before we read, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Ancient of Days, our Heavenly Father, you have spoken to your people in the past, leading them through the desert, calling them out of disobedience, and promising your grace. Father, we pray that you would speak to us today. We pray that you would speak to us through your word, your holy word. We pray that you would lead us through the desert. Speak to us through the prophets and call us out of disobedience. Speak to us your gospel and show us your grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Jeremiah 1, 1 through 10. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Galatians. Galatians 1, beginning with verse 11. This is our second week in a study of the book of Galatians. Galatians, we noted last week, it's a letter. It's mail from almost 2,000 years ago. The book of Galatians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to churches, to congregations, to communities of faith in Galatia. Now, Galatia was a region of the Roman Empire that is now modern-day Turkey. So Paul was writing to these churches, to these congregations, to these communities of faith that he knew, that he loved. Because these were churches that he had planted, churches that he had started when he was on his first missionary journey. And you can read about that in Acts 13 and 14. Well, Paul was writing to these churches in Galatia because he was concerned about them. He had received a report, Paul received a report telling him that these churches were turning to a different gospel. They were turning from Paul's simple message of salvation in Jesus alone, through faith in Jesus alone. They were turning from the gospel that Paul preached. They were turning from the gospel that they had received from Paul. Now, other teachers had arrived in these churches, and they were adding to the gospel. They were distorting the gospel. They were instructing the Galatians that in order to follow Jesus, in order to be a Christian, they first had to be circumcised, follow the law. So in other words, in order to be a Christian, you first had to be a Jew. In order to follow Jesus, you first had to be a Jew. Now, these teachers who are never named by Paul, They certainly attacked Paul's preaching. They certainly attacked Paul's authority. They probably said, you know, he's not really an apostle. He was never really with Jesus. He didn't learn the gospel sitting at Jesus' feet or sitting at the feet of Peter or James or John or any of the other apostles. Well, in order to defend himself, in order to defend his calling, in order to defend his message, part of this letter, part of Galatians, is an autobiography. It's a spiritual autobiography by Paul. And we're gonna examine just part of it this morning. We'll look at the rest of it next week. But we'll examine part of it this morning. Our passage is Galatians 1, beginning with verse 11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Paul here says that the gospel that he taught, the good news that he preached, the message about Jesus was not man's. It did not originate with man. In other words, Paul is saying that he was not taught the gospel. He didn't learn the gospel from anyone. He didn't learn it from his mother. He didn't learn it from his father. He didn't learn it from his grandmother. He didn't learn it from a Sunday school teacher. Paul didn't take a class about Christianity. He didn't read about it. He wasn't discipled. He wasn't witnessed to. He did not attend a revival. Paul says this in verse 12. Look at verse 12 again. Paul says, I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul received the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ was revealed to Paul. It was made known to Paul. It was sealed upon his mind and upon his heart by God himself, by the creator of heaven and earth, by the living Lord, by the eternal Father. Now, Paul reminds that before this happened, before he received the gospel, before he was revealed the gospel, he reminds that he was a Jew, a faithful Jew. He was one who knew the law, who studied the law, who was zealous for the law and for the traditions. Paul says that he advanced and he succeeded far beyond his peers. Now, his zeal of the law, his zeal for love of the law was rivaled only by his zeal for hatred of the church. Paul hated the church. Paul considered followers of Jesus blasphemers, idolaters, because they worshiped a man. Paul oppressed the church. He ravaged the church. He dragged men and women to prison for believing that Jesus was the Messiah. And all the time he was doing this, he would believe that God was pleased by his actions. All the time that he did this, he thought that he was being faithful. Faithful to the Lord. Now, the book of Acts, chapter 9, describes a life-changing journey for Paul. Paul was on his way to the city of Damascus. Paul was going to Damascus because he was going to go to synagogues there to search out Jesus' followers. And when he found them, he was going to arrest them and bind them and cart them back to Jerusalem and throw them into prison. But on the way to Damascus, Paul met Jesus. The Lord revealed himself to Paul, shined his light upon him, and in that moment, Paul's eyes were opened to Jesus, that he is God, God in the flesh, who was crucified, died, who was resurrected, now alive, conquering sin and conquering death, thereby offering forgiveness, offering life, offering freedom. Paul describes his own transformation in verse 15 of our passage. Look at verse 15 again. This is Paul's own reflection on meeting Jesus. Paul says, "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles." Paul said that God had set him apart, consecrated him. That's another word for set apart. God had consecrated him. God had chosen him before he was even born. What Paul is saying is that the Father's plan, the Father's will for him was to call him in Jesus, to reveal to him Jesus, to send him to preach Jesus, and to preach Jesus to Gentiles, to those who were not Jews, to those who were outside of God's covenant, to those who were not under God's law, to the uncircumcised, just like the Galatians. Now, this was a miracle, plain and simple. Paul, who had rejected Jesus, Paul, who had oppressed the church, now received him, found salvation in him, and was sent to increase the church. The one who had oppressed the church was now sent to increase the church. And Paul, in his reflection, gives one word as a reason for God's transformation of his life. One word, and that one word is grace. Grace. By grace, Paul was set apart before he was born. By grace, Paul was called. By grace, Paul received Jesus. By grace, Paul was sent to preach Jesus. Which means this, it was a gift to Paul, a gift from the Father, a free gift from the Father, an unlooked for gift from a gift of love from the Father. Love that the Father had for Paul before he was born. Now, Paul's language here reflects our Old Testament lesson from the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Now, centuries before Paul, Jeremiah was a priest. He was a priest of the Lord who served the Lord in the temple of the Lord. And in our passage from Jeremiah, we're told that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, not Isaiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah. And these are the words that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. Listen to verse 5 of our passage again. The Lord said this to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Now, Jeremiah is calling from the Lord, the call to be a prophet, to speak God's word. To speak the word of the Lord was God's will before he was born. It was God's plan before Jeremiah was in the womb. And that plan was that Jeremiah was to be sent to the nations to speak God's word to the Gentiles. Just like Paul. Well, when Paul met Jesus, when Paul received the Father's grace, in verse 16, Paul tells us what he did. Look at the end of verse 16 again. Paul says this, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Paul says he didn't talk to anybody. He did not seek out the apostles. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't try to find Peter. He didn't try to find John or James. He didn't try to find other believers. Instead, Paul says he went to Arabia. Then he went to the city of Damascus. These were both north of Jerusalem. And Paul says he spent 3 years there. 3 years in Arabia, 3 years in Damascus. And over the centuries, you may have the same question. You're not alone. Over the centuries, everybody said, lots of people have said, pastors have said, scholars have said, what was Paul doing for those 3 years? The book of Acts doesn't tell us. Paul doesn't tell us here. There's a legend that Paul spent time in the wilderness, that he spent time in the wilderness praying and fasting and seeking and preparing. Maybe. But I tend to think Martin Luther is right. Martin Luther, the 16th century German reformer, in his lectures on Galatians, Martin Luther says this, well, what was Paul doing for 3 years? He was preaching for 3 years. That's what God had just called him to do. He was preaching the gospel to Gentiles in Arabia. He was preaching the gospel to Gentiles in Damascus. Paul was living out the calling he'd been given. Well, after 3 years, we do know this, Paul went to Jerusalem. 3 years after he received the gospel, 3 years after his transformation, 3 years after receiving his calling, he went to Jerusalem, and there he tells us he met Peter. Cephas, the apostle Peter, one of the key leaders of the church. Paul spent 15 days with Peter. And can you imagine that meeting? You imagine their conversations. For 2 weeks, these giants of the faith, these apostles of Jesus Christ, these pillars, great pillars of the church, became acquainted with one another and prayed with one another and worshiped together and talked together and rejoiced together. These two very different men. Peter and Paul were very different men. Peter was a former fisherman. He was one of the first called by Jesus. He was one of the inner circle of Jesus. He spent 3 years with Jesus. He saw the empty tomb of Jesus, and he was sent to preach to Jews. Paul, on the other hand, was a scholar, a religious leader, a Roman citizen, a persecutor of the church, a ravager of the church, who was transformed in the blink of an eye and sent to preach to Gentiles. Two very different men, two pillars of the church, two brothers of the faith, meeting together for 2 weeks in Jerusalem. Well, Paul tells us he didn't see any of the other apostles. Maybe all the other apostles were traveling and preaching. He only mentions seeing James, who was the brother of Jesus. Now, there's a reason that Paul uplifts all these details about time and who he saw. Paul wants to show that he did not learn the gospel from men. He wants to show that he didn't learn it in Jerusalem. He didn't learn it from Peter. He didn't learn it from James. He didn't learn it from any other apostle. He received it. It was revealed to him from God. And don't miss this either. Don't miss this. Peter and James did not reject Paul. They didn't reject his conversion. They didn't reject his calling. They didn't try to stop him. They didn't try to slow him down. They glorified God. The churches who heard about Paul glorified God. They praised God. They rejoiced in God. They recognized God's grace in Paul's life. And verse 23 recounts their words of praise. Verse 23 says this, "He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy." Paul received the gospel from the Lord. And the gospel changed his life. And then the Father used him to change the world through the gospel. The gospel can change your life too. Jesus can change your life. The crucified and resurrected Messiah can transform you. And you don't have to be traveling to Damascus for it to happen. You don't have to be a persecutor of the church for it to happen. The skies don't have to open up for it to happen. All you need is the Word. You just need the Word. The Lord ordinarily uses His Word, the Scriptures, to reveal Jesus. This is called an ordinary means of grace. Now that doesn't mean there are not extraordinary conversions. There certainly are extraordinary conversions. But God, through His Holy Spirit, ordinarily uses His Word, ordinarily uses the Scriptures, the preaching of the Scriptures, the teaching of the Scriptures, someone sharing the content of the Scriptures, witnessing their own faith, to reveal Jesus. Now, and when you receive Jesus, you find that your story is similar to Paul's in this. Maybe not the Damascus Road, maybe not the light shining, maybe not that, but you'll find your story is similar to Paul's in this, in that the Father set you apart before you were born. That was His plan. That was His will. God chose you and consecrated you in Jesus Christ. God called you in Jesus. God revealed His Son to you, Jesus. And all of this is a work of the Lord. All of this is a work of God in your life, which means this: it's all due to grace. All due to grace. You are saved by the grace of God, which means, just like Paul, it's a gift. A gift. A gift of love from the Father through the Son. If you haven't received it, will you receive it now? Will you turn to Jesus from your sin? Will you believe? God offers you life. And just like Paul, He also sends you. He sends you to serve. How are you serving the Lord? How are you serving Him in your life? How are you using your gifts? How are you using your talents? How are you using your time? How are you using your finances to serve the Lord? And finally, know this too. If there are those in your life who need the Lord, if there are those that you are burdened with in your heart who need life in Jesus, Paul's life reminds us of this truth. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. God transformed Paul. He took the greatest enemy of the church to be its greatest witness. And the one who transformed Paul is also the one who raised Jesus from the dead. And the one who raised Jesus from the dead is also the one who created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, simply by speaking. For Him, nothing is impossible. So bring before Him those in your life who need the gospel. Lift them to prayer before the Lord. Lift them to prayer to the one whose grace is all sufficient. And trust in it. The one who transformed Paul can transform anyone, anyone, including us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your work of grace in our life. Thank You for the gift of salvation we have through Your Son and the transformation that we have through Your Son. Father, would You use us? Use us to further Your kingdom. Use us and our gifts and our finances and our talents and our time. Use us to increase Your church. We thank You that You use Paul. And we thank You that even today, his witness, the life that You transform, can be used to transform us, can be used to transform this city and this world. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.